Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of my podcast, The Season of Sports, with me, Asmin Begovic. Please say a big hello to my producer, Rachel. How are you?
Hey, Asmin, very good. We're in a very, very nice studio today with air conditioning, so I'm feeling great.
Yeah, we've definitely moved up in the world, so The Season of Sports is moving in the right direction, which is really nice, and it's nice to be here in a nice, lovely studio, which is great. We're going to be talking Wimbledon today, so it's that time of year again, where the biggest tennis tournament of the year is around the corner. And it's one of my favorite tournaments to watch, especially as a sports fan. We've got two great guests on the show today, Andrew Castle joining us, and up-and-coming tennis superstar Katie Swan. So we're going to be talking lots of things, Wimbledon and just general tennis subjects with them. And let's get into it right now.
This episode of Season of Sports is brought to you in partnership with GreatSave.com, the goalkeeping experts. Use the promo code #AB1 to get 15% off all Cell's Elite Aqua Gloves.
Joining me now to talk about the year's biggest tennis tournament is Andrew Castle. Andrew is a former pro tennis player who now, amongst other things, is a commentator for BBC's Wimbledon coverage and a presenter on LBC. Catches shows on Saturday and Sunday from 7 a.m. and also on Twitter at AndrewCastle63. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
How are you doing, Asmir? Thank you for getting all my information in. Everything was spot on. Perfect. Well, thank you, mate.
Well, listen, if you're not going to come on anything else for the show, you're going to get a great promo and an introduction. So that's what we do. We try our best on here. So you're very welcome.
Sweet. Well, listen, are we talking tennis today, Asmir, or should we talk about football?
Well, I think I talk about football every day. So I like to do my podcast and show to get away from football a little bit. So
I don't blame you.
We're going to be talking tennis, and who better to talk tennis than with you? So it's a pleasure to have you with us. Thanks again.
Thanks.
So listen, Andrew, I wanted to talk to you about Wimbledon. It's the biggest tennis tournament of the year. You've played in it before. Why is it such a special tournament? What's the feeling that the players get when they come into the facility and this sort of tournament comes around?
Well, the first time I ever went there I get the same feeling now as the very first day that I went through and I saw Centre Court. It was 1976, and the first time you see your heroes play, especially in the old days when there wasn't so much digital TV and pictures coming in from everywhere, streaming and all the rest. So, you know, the first person I saw was Nastasi at Wimbledon, and then we went through to Centre Court, and I saw that place for the first time. And, it's profoundly moving, and I still find that to this day. You know, each and every day turning up and watching the tennis and stepping, you know, through the gates. It's the same thing. And you ask why it's sort of number one. I think it's because it's got a greater identity than any other event in the tennis calendar. It is unique from the design of the facility to the very surface that you play on a natural grass court, to the way the players are treated. I think just everything about it. It's about modern, but it's also about traditional. So for all of those reasons, I think it is still the number one tournament in the world.
Well, I'm a big tennis fan, and I had the pleasure of being in Wimbledon 2 years ago and watching Murray against Dimitrov, and it was a fantastic match. But like you said, just the aura, as soon as you walk through the gates, you get there, you have a special feeling about it. It's so traditional. It's a beautiful place, and there's no better place to be on a nice summer's day than Wimbledon for me. So
you watched the Dimitrov Murray match?
Yeah, this was a couple of years ago. Yeah,
was that when I think that was 2014 quarterfinal when Dimitrov blew Murray off the court?
Yeah, he was unbelievable that day.
He's a special talent, and I still would love to see him do what he did at Queens a couple of years back and win that. I'd still love him. I would love to see that kid win Wimbledon 1 year, because he is genuinely exciting.
Well, he's the baby Fed, right? That's what they call him, baby Federer?
He's baby Fed, and they call him Showtime, they call him Prime Time. You can call him whatever you want. When he is on, he's got something special. I don't know in football I'm sorry to take you to football, but if there's a player that can turn something in this country more than any other, who do you think it is? Because Dimitrov, when he plays, almost nobody can play with him. Is there a footballer like that?
Yeah, well, I think the footballer I would compare him to is probably someone like a Dele Alli at the moment, a young English footballer who's got all the talent in the world, maybe the most talented youngster in the world right now. And when he's on his game, he's almost unstoppable. And once he puts it all together on a consistent basis, he'll be one of the best in the world. And I think that's the question with Dimitrov. Can he put his game together on a consistent level week in and week out? And that's what would take him into the top 5, top 10 in the world?
I'm very interested that you said that about Dele Alli, because these guys, as well as, it's not just what they do, is it? It's the way they carry themselves, and the way, if you put two or three, or in football, 22 players in front of you, if you cannot take your eyes off one of them, then that's the one who is probably special. And with Dimitrov, I still feel, and even more so on a grass court, perhaps, I still feel he's the one who, if he puts it together, can blow anybody off the court. And that may well still happen. But, you know, he's got other things on his mind, or has done in the past. And, like, you know, he's kind of box office. As far as women are concerned, you know, he's a young man traveling the world. He got a great deal of attention for a lot of time. He was telling me one time, we sat down for lunch, I must tell you this, and I said, oh, how are you doing with everything? This was probably 3 or 4 years ago, and he was really bursting through. And I said, how's everything going? He says, I love it. He says, I was in Acapulco, and I was chased by these women, and they ripped my shirt off, and, like, I didn't know where I was. And I said, how was that? And he said, I loved it. And so he was living that sort of mad life and getting that sort of attention. But if he can just focus on his tennis for long enough, then, you know, maybe I see him as a champion.
Let's talk about Wimbledon. Obviously, as you said, it's a unique tournament, the fact that it's played on natural grass. And for the men's and women's players, what is the transition like from the big clay court season onto grass? Because that seems to be the biggest and toughest transition all year that these players will face. Am I right?
Absolutely. I mean, for me, it was like the biggest relief of all time to get off clay, where I might have spent only just a few weeks. I never got any points or money on clay. But just to get onto the grass was like going home, because that's where I learned to play my tennis. In those days, the grass was so soft that the worst volley you hit, the better. Didn't bounce. So, you know, in the old days, the grass courts were a lot different. They weren't as good, and they were quicker. So the premium was to come into the net and to make the most of that position. Nowadays, the guys hit the passing shots so well, so hard, it's more difficult to volley, which I think is a shame. The transition that Bjorn Borg used to make from winning the French seemingly every year to coming over to Wimbledon and starting the tournament 2 weeks later, having played no grass court tournament in warm-up, and then winning Wimbledon, that double in those days was probably more difficult even than it is now, because the surface was so different and their time that you had was only 2 weeks. But nowadays, the transition, not quite what it was, because the grass courts are a little bit slower. But they've added a week, and the guys and girls in the main draw now have time to get ready for the grass, a little bit longer time. So it's not quite as big a transition due to the playing conditions. But, you know, you don't want to be injured at that time of the year or ill. You want to be ready, because two massive tournaments within a few weeks of each other.
Well, absolutely, and we'll see who handles that transition best. And I can't let you go, but to get your picks first and foremost, it's obviously seems to be the return of the old guards this year in the men's game, with Nadal and Federer being on form, especially Roger. He's taken the whole clay court season off to focus on Wimbledon, which can only put him as one of the favorites if he's focusing on grass that much.
Okay, so I mean, for a start, it's ridiculous. Roger Federer is ridiculous. It's one of the
sports stories. He's a machine. He's not human, is he?
You've seen him play, right?
Oh, I've seen him play. I actually seen him play a couple times. In that day, I went to Wimbledon. I saw Dimitrov Murray, and then I saw him play Stan Wawrinka in the afternoon. And yeah, he's just magic on grass.
Well, it is. It's quite something to sit there in the commentary box and to be that close. And I've spent quite a lot of time with Roger. I knew him when he was, I think I was introduced to him first when he was 13. He was with an old friend of mine called Peter Carter, an Australian I used to play with, who was his first real sort of major coach. And we've lost Peter since, but, you know, Roger, several of Roger's shots were exactly like Peter's, like his service motion. It's so funny to see. And Peter was lost in a car accident some years ago, sadly. But I've seen him grow from 13, 14 years of age up into this sporting giant, really. I mean, he lost in the semi-final of last year's Wimbledon and then didn't play until January, and then won the Australian Open. I mean, I don't even know that. for me, that's a tremendous sporting achievement at his age as well. I think that shows that he still loves hitting the ball. The physical act of just hitting the ball, he loves. And now he takes another 3 or 4 months off, and he'll probably come and win Wimbledon. So that just for old time's sake, I'll pick him as favourite to win. I would just love to see him have another run at it, because watching him play is awesome.
Really excited about the tournament. Andrew, thanks a lot for joining me. I hope to see you at Wimbledon this year. I wish you all the best.
All the best. Bye.
Great to have Andrew on the show. Super excited about his tournament. It's going to be on from the 3rd of July to the 17th of July at the All England Lawn Tennis Club. So the biggest tournament of tennis is around the corner.
When were you last there, Andrew?
So I was there. It was 2014, as Andrew said. Maybe it was 2015. But I was there, and I've only been there once, and it was an incredible experience. You walk in there, and me, like a sports night of magic, I took my wife, Nicole, and she's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Well, no, I'm fine, but I'm like a little kid in a candy store. Yeah. Where is the souvenir shop? Where can I get this? You know, the strawberries and cream are amazing. Where do I get those?" And
you want to get all your stuff when you're there.
Exactly,
tick all the boxes.
Exactly. You don't go there every day, so you make the most of it. It was a fantastic day. Saw two amazing matches on the center court. And really just enjoy the whole experience.
Yeah, I love the sounds of Wimbledon. Like when you hear the sound of the ball on the grass,
yeah.
And then the crowd doing their polite clapping.
Yeah, it's so civilized.
And then the buzz around it. It is
yeah.
really civilized, despite the fact there's so much Prosecco. Everyone is really civilized.
I know, it's great. So it's a great tournament. One of them I look forward to either watching in person or on TV. And really excited about this year's edition.
Great.
Well, my next guest is Katie Swan. Katie is a tennis player, and she's just 18 years old and has already played at Wimbledon twice. So she's got a huge career ahead of her. To talk tennis and her season so far and the future ahead for her, it's Katie Swan. Make sure you catch her on Twitter, at KatieSwan99. Katie, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, the pleasure is all ours. Thanks a lot for coming on our show. I know it's a busy schedule for you, so we really, really appreciate your time. And we'll get straight into it. You know, I wanted to sort of ask you about your season so far, how everything's gone, and what you're looking forward to for the rest of the season as well.
Yeah, so I've been busy since January. I started off the year, unfortunately, had a problem with my back, but then recovered from that. Had a good couple of weeks in Egypt where I won a couple of tournaments there in women's.
Congratulations.
And then, thank you very much. And then I went to Miami, played the big Miami Open tournament there. So that was a good experience. And then got the chance to go to Fed Cup with the women's team when they played against Romania. So we traveled to Romania, Constanta, a few weeks ago. Which was another great experience. I loved it, being alongside the team. And, I went to Korea last week. Unfortunately, I had a problem with my wrist, so I had to come home. But I'm working on that now, lots of rehab, and I'll hopefully be ready to go in a couple of weeks for the grass season.
Well, you know, it's going to be a lot of pressure on you being 18 years old and obviously one of the up-and-coming players in the women's tennis game, especially over here in Britain. How do you deal with that pressure on a daily basis?
I try not to think about it like that as much. Being a Brit during the grass season, people expect a lot from you, but I think the most important thing is just try and enjoy it and keep learning as I'm going. And it's more about the process and making sure I'm doing my best in terms of progressing with my game and doing everything I can to put my best performance on the court. And that's when I get my best results. So that's my main focus.
Well, that's really wise. I can relate to that. You know, I remember, God, is it 12 years ago when I was 18? Jeez.
Sorry, Esme. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. I don't, you know, I used to call myself young, but I'm getting to be one of the older players now. And, it's a tough position because everyone's saying, oh, you should be doing this. You'll be there one day. But, as Katie says, it's important to just believe in the process. Have good people around you. Work hard every
exactly.
day. And just take it step by step, and everything will work themselves out. And when you have a special talent like Katie, everything's going to work out, I'm sure. And, you know, it's funny. We had Andrew Cassis on the show earlier, and he gave us a very big opinion on Maria Sharapova. And obviously that's a big topic in the tennis game right now. What are your sort of thoughts on her?
She was always my idol growing up. When I first started playing tennis, I always looked up to her. So when she got banned for doping, it's obviously tough for people to see that, especially all her fans, knowing that she was going to be out of the game for a while. but she's still an amazing competitor, and I don't think you can take away anything she's achieved because she's still done amazingly.
I was just going to ask, Katie, does the presence of someone like Sharapova really lift the women's game at a tournament, though? Is she quite a key person to have there for women's tennis?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it doesn't affect me as much at the moment because I'm not playing the same tournaments. I've only played one main draw of a Grand Slam. I've been to Miami Open a couple of times, but qualifying, so I haven't really been around her very much. But for people like Jo Konta, like at Fed Cup, she was saying it's different having her there, like because she has such a big reputation, and obviously she's achieved so much, and she brings such a high level. We've already seen that since she's been back, having been out for a year. So I think for sure it's good for everyone having her back because it motivates everyone else to keep going.
She's definitely the loudest player, isn't she? She's got a good shout.
Well, she
yeah, I think so.
That's always a good trophy to have. So, well, Katie, are you excited for the grass court season? Is that your favourite season of the year?
Yeah, I'm so excited. I love playing in England, and grass is my favourite surface. So I'm excited.
Good. Well, listen, we wish you all the best for the grass court season and the rest of the season ahead. Stay healthy. You've got a fan base now with a Season of Sports podcast, so we'll be keeping a close eye on you. No pressure or anything. And
no, thank you very much. That's really kind.
Well, we've come to the time of the show where it's time to say goodbye and see you guys in a couple of weeks. Thanks a lot for listening to us once again. If you want to get in touch with our show, you can do so via Twitter, via my personal page, AsmirOne, or my personal Facebook page. We're also on Twitter and Facebook, the Season of Sports. Get in touch with us either way you can. We look forward to hearing from you. Hit us up with a review. Feel free to do that because they're important. We like to hear positive or negative thoughts. And we'll be talking fantasy sports in a couple weeks' time. And we look forward to seeing you then.